Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, November 13th. I'm Sarith Hawk, in for Elizabeth Arkalian. The U.S. government is once again funded and back open after being shut down for a historic 43 days.
What this bill accomplishes tonight is it takes some of the, what I call the innocent hostages out of this political drama.
Coming up, we speak with Valley Congressman Adam Gray. He was one of only six Democrats to join Republicans in approving the funding bill. But first, these headlines. A former top aide to Governor Gavin Newsom has been indicted on federal charges. Prosecutors are alleging Dana Williamson was involved in a scheme to steal campaign money from former federal health secretary Javier Becerra. Williamson appeared in a Sacramento courtroom yesterday. The federal indictment lists four other co-conspirators. Prosecutors say Becerra and Newsom are not implicated in the indictment. The high-speed rail project in California may be taking another turn. This time, rail leaders are looking to private investors to help speed up the building process. The Fresno Bee reports the rail's CEO wants to start vetting investors who could build segments of the railway and later operate and maintain it. The High-Speed Rail Authority Board will decide how to proceed with the idea at its meeting next week. In Porterville, both the police chief and assistant police chief are out on leave. The city did not give reasons for their leave, but KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado reports the department is facing several lawsuits.
A city statement last week said an interim police chief has been appointed to oversee all police operations in Porterville. That's after the current police chief and the assistant chief are out on what the city calls authorized leave. The city did not elaborate on the reason for the leave, citing privacy laws, though other news outlets say the chiefs are out on medical leave. And KVPR has since learned that the Porterville Police Department is facing five separate lawsuits in federal court right now. Some of them named the police chief and other department leaders as defendants. Allegations reviewed by KVPR include excessive use of force and workplace discrimination. Two lawsuits were filed by the department's own officers. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
The state of California has revoked 17,000 commercial driver's licenses. This follows a federal audit where transportation officials were seeking to strip licenses for so-called dangerous foreign drivers. The federal transportation secretary said he wants to remove every driver without legal status from operating semi-trucks and school buses. The department criticized California for handing out the licenses to drivers without legal status and threatened to strip funding from the state over the matter. It's unclear how the loss of thousands of drivers will impact the trucking industry. A Bakersfield city council member has revealed he's battling cancer. Ken Weir serves in the city's third ward or district and has notably missed recent council meetings. Weir said in a statement today that he's been undergoing treatment for cancer for several months. He said the recovery process is taking longer than anticipated. Weir said he plans to remain on the council for now.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from Fresno Mazda, part of the Prieto Automotive family, leading the industry in the IIHS 2025 Top Safety Pick Awards, helping move Mazda closer to the goal of eliminating traffic fatalities. More information and the Mazda Digital Showroom available at myfresnomazda.com.
And now to our main story. Last night, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to restore funding for the federal government. The decision marks the end of the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. It lasted 43 days, and it followed a bitter fight. One of the sticking points for Democrats was the issue of health care subsidies, specifically tax credits, originally passed as part of the Affordable Care Act that are set to expire at the end of this year. Democrats wanted to extend those subsidies as a way to keep health care costs low for Americans. Republicans wanted to move forward with no new spending in the budget. After a dramatic break with their party, eight Democrats in the Senate moved to join Republicans to reopen the government with no clear deal on subsidies. The final funding bill passed Wednesday night and restores food aid benefits and federal worker salaries. And it keeps most of the government funded through January 30th. Just before the House voted to restore funding for the government, we caught up with Valley Democratic Representative Adam Gray. He represents parts of Merced and Stanislaus counties. Gray spoke with KVPR's associate editor, Carrie Klein, as votes were about to be cast. Moments later, he voted yes on the bill. He was only one of six Democrats in the House to do so. In this interview, Congressman Gray will explain to us how Democrats plan to keep negotiating around health care. But he starts by giving his initial thoughts on the immediate funding deal.
You know, as you know, this bill came out of the U.S. Senate in a bipartisan fashion, eight Democratic senators voting for it. And, you know, and it's essentially a compromise between the two political parties, a compromise that does not yet achieve an outcome or a solution for the pending healthcare crisis that the Republicans have essentially created by not addressing the extension of the tax credits, as people are getting notices in the mail that their healthcare premiums could be rising anywhere from 50, 60, 70. I've heard numbers as high as 200%. Mm. So very significant impacts, you know, to people's healthcare budget. But what this bill accomplishes tonight is it takes some of the, you know, what I call the innocent hostages out of this political drama and extends the SNAP program, which of course is the food assistance program. Many families throughout the Valley utilize that. I think 47,000 households just in my district, you know, mm-hmm. and that probably represents, you know, 150, 180, maybe even as many as 200,000 people, you know, in this district that are impacted, you know, by those food assistance programs. So it takes that off the table and funds it for an entire year so that President Trump and the Republican leadership can't use that as leverage going forward, as we've seen. I mean, in addition to that, it gives us a 60-day window. I think this expires at the end of January to essentially negotiate with our Republican colleagues a healthcare compromise. You know, I've got a bunch of colleagues around here on the other side of the aisle who have spent the better part of the summer and even the fall writing letters, making public statements that they're concerned about these increased premiums. And so I hope, as Democrats have come to the table for a bipartisan compromise tonight, that my Republican colleagues do the same over these next 60 days and we don't have another government shutdown. Mm.
Yeah, as you've said, this is a compromise. Certain pain points that have been hurting Americans for the last 40 days would be ended by funding this bill. But as you've said, this bill does not include some of the Affordable Care Act healthcare subsidies that your party had been pushing for. So do you agree with the decision to make this compromise?
I do agree. I mean, I think they're, as I was saying, families, you know, going without food assistance, that's unacceptable. Veterans going out with the health care. All of the government and federal employees who have been inappropriately furloughed, had the departments cut, laid off. You know, much of that's been fixed. And frankly, it's the first time we've seen our Republican colleagues stand up to the president a little bit and push back on some of those firings, push back on his wanting to not pay or fund the SNAP program. And at the end of the day, we also take those out as leverage points in 2 months. So we're not going to find ourselves back here with the American people being used as pawns, with kids, hungry kids being used as pawns, which is completely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can get a healthcare deal. I mean, like I said, we've got at least a dozen House Republicans who have been giving lip service for the better part of 6 months to want to do something about this healthcare thing. Well, you know, let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's get together. You know, government works better when both parties work together. And that's what we need more of in Washington, D.C.
So this shutdown caused hundreds of thousands of federal workers to work with no pay. It caused funding to run out for food stamps, as you were talking about, despite a legal fight. I could see someone taking a look at this and thinking, what was the point for Democrats asking to negotiate this government shutdown for so long if it was this easy to give in to Republican demands?
Well, I think that's a, you know, certainly a perspective some may have. But if you, I mean, let's fast forward 60 days. What if we end up in another government shutdown because Republicans continue to refuse to make a bipartisan agreement on healthcare? Well, the day after that next government shutdown, we're not taking food out of the mouths of hungry children and families, right? That positive change has occurred with this vote tonight. So to say that, you know, nothing was accomplished, I think is, you know, is misguided and inappropriate. To say that our work is finished is also misguided and inappropriate. All we've done here is buy ourselves a 60-day window to have a conversation with the other party and arrive at some kind of a bipartisan agreement on healthcare. It's got to get done. I mean, people's premiums are set to increase. You know, I want to take my Republican colleagues at their word that they're serious about doing that. Give them the opportunity. Let's do that. And in the meantime, let's make sure people, you know, going into Thanksgiving, going into the holidays, are getting their paychecks, are employed again, that nobody's going, you know, to the food bank and getting turned away. I mean, I don't think any of us would, anyone who has any compassion or kindness at all, probably has a pretty hard time saying we should continue to not provide that food assistance. And tonight's vote is going to move that forward, reopen the government, give us a window to negotiate healthcare. So while it has not fixed every problem, and no one vote ever does, it's fixed some problems, and we just got to keep up the push. And I, like I said, hope that my Republican colleagues have the courage and the backbone to step up to the plate and negotiate a bipartisan agreement on healthcare.
So to keep the conversation on healthcare, earlier this fall, you introduced a bill to restore Medicaid funding that Congress voted to cut earlier this year. That's as right. Part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. You know, Congress did already vote once to cut back this safety net program. Do you consider this bill to be symbolic, or do you think it really could go somewhere in this current Congress and that funding could be restored?
Look, in the San Joaquin Valley, we're underserved as far as our healthcare infrastructure, our healthcare workforce. You know, I've spent the better part of the last 15 years trying to build a medical school program, expand our nursing school programs at UC Merced, our community colleges at Fresno State, at Stanislaus State. I've done everything I can to make sure that our community clinics have the funding and the authorization to be open additional hours. We don't have enough physicians, nurses, healthcare professionals. We've had hospitals close like we saw in Madera. So for me, I want to see Medicaid funding fully restored. And I want to see tax credits to make healthcare affordable for everybody extended permanently, you know, with no shelf life. Now, not everyone here is going to agree on that. That's fine. I'm willing to negotiate with them and find out what can we get done to lower the cost of healthcare and to make high quality healthcare more available, right? I think that's what gets lost oftentimes is, you know, we're not here to be talking heads or to go on cable news networks and argue with each other. We're here to solve problems. You know, when I was in the California legislature, I founded the California Problem Solvers Caucus. I've worked with the federal Problem Solvers group, with the Blue Dogs, with the New Dems. I've worked with my Republican colleagues. We've got to come together and solve problems for folks. And healthcare remains as an issue not solved. You know, and people are going to be getting notices over the holidays that their premiums are going up. I hope that jumpstarts my Republican colleagues into place. But, you know, my bill, I'd love to have them all on as co-sponsors, and I'd love to pass it tomorrow. But if we can't get that done, then what can we get done? That's the question I would put back, you know, to my colleagues across the aisle.
So to switch gears a little bit here, new emails have been released this week that reveal more details in the relationship between President Trump and the late sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Democrats in Congress have been calling for months for the Trump administration to release the so-called Epstein files. Do these new emails change anything for you?
Well, I'm glad they're finally getting released. I mean, I think it's absurd that we've gone months without releasing them. The speaker, at least from everyone's impression, seems to have kept us out of session for the better part of 2 months to avoid swearing in a member, to avoid the release files. When we finally swore that member in, they immediately released the files. And there's obviously some reporting that there's some concerning things in there. Transparency and accountability should be our policy. It should be a bipartisan policy. Release all the files. Let's take a good look. If somebody's done something and has not been held accountable, then we ought to do that.
That was KVPR's associate editor, Carrie Klein, speaking with Democratic Congressman Adam Gray of Merced. Gray spoke with Klein right before last night's vote to reopen the federal government. He was one of six Democrats who joined nearly all Republicans in voting yes. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.